Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. I greet you all this morning in the name of Jesus. This morning, I wasn't sure what to share on this past week as I was reading a little bit. There's a word that arrested me in my readings as I was going through that just really caught my attention. And that word is in Matthew chapter 13. And we'll start at the beginning of the chapter there. Read probably halfway through it. And see what the Lord has for us this morning. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed unto stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. We'll cease to read there. Now, I've read that parable many times and heard it spoken on and preached, and I'm sure this word was mentioned and brought forth, but it was just this time whenever I was reading it, just how it jumped out at me. And that was the word understand. It says several times throughout this here. You look in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I know in verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He understood the word when the word was sown into his heart. You know, to understand something, you know, somebody can teach me something, if you want to say, of some science or some math or something, and I can understand how what they're saying and how it can be done. Something that can be, if you want to say, reproduced in a laboratory. But this understand is of a different caliber. It's not a head knowledge. It's not of knowing something per se. In a sense, in John chapter 3, how it says that that as we believe, we are saved. But he that does not believe is not saved because of his unbelief. In a sense, those two are tied together, that they understand and that they believe. It's the faith that they have in God and what he can do. You know, all the sciences and math, and like I said, they can be reproduced in labs. This here, the understanding and the belief that we have cannot be produced in an earthly laboratory, but they can be reproduced in any born-again child of God. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, and why did this affect me so much, this word to understand? This past couple of weeks I've been dealing with a man a little bit, and he, you know, there's a couple of questions that he asked. You know, one is what does it mean to take up your cross, or to die to yourself and take up your cross? You know, what does that look like? And I'm not going to go into all that right now, but there's obviously, you know, a lack of understanding of what this all means and how it can be lived out. You know, that is what God has for us here, is to live this out upon this earth, to be the example so that people, they can see it, but they won't fully understand it until it becomes part of their life, until they can live it out. Definition that by looking a few things up that I put together, that the understanding is not head knowledge, but it's the ability to bring the perceived, what we perceive of something, and the reality of it together. You know, we are taught, we are shown, we can see examples of other people living this here, but until it becomes reality in our lives, we can't fully understand it and be, to reproduce it. You know, I can tell people, you know, that, you know, as far as, well, let me just go there and read it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," just coming out of the faith chapter of all those people that their faith that they have, that they've seen the promise afar off. "Seeing that about we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, so I can tell people, yeah, we're to lay aside the sin. You know, you know, Jesus gives us the ability to live a victorious life and to above sin. And they can hear that, they can receive it, but they can't understand it. You know, it sounds like a good thing, you know, and that a lot of people want that, but how do we achieve it? It would be nice if there was a nice formula that we can give somebody and say, here, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you'll achieve this here. And in a sense, there is, but yet it totally depends on our faith and our belief on God. And so it goes a lot farther than that. You know, we don't want to come to a place where we can say we are to live, we're going to live a sinless life, as some people say, you know, and if we make a mistake or something, you know, we don't want to go there. But we also don't want to go to the place, as was mentioned, that we're just going to sin every day and God's grace is sufficient. We can overcome that. I do believe there's a middle ground in that there. That God's grace is sufficient to live a victorious life. So I see this and I understand it. Maybe. Do I understand it to the fullest? Or do I still let some of these sins that does so easily beset me reign in my life? And if so, I'm afraid that I don't fully understand it as I should. And I need to dig deeper into the Word of God. And understand what this means. Desire it from God. I think whenever that is fully perceived and be a reality in my life, then Romans 7 will become so true, where it says sin will become exceedingly sinful, and it will have no desire in my heart, that I will put it away. You know, it's easy. Can be easy also in the flesh for me to look around at other people as I go through life, as we have example from the Pharisees and so forth. You know, we can look on other people and say, I'm so glad I'm not like them, or look and see what they're doing. You know, I'm not doing that there. What I found interesting as I was looking into that a little bit, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12, it says to not compare ourselves among ourselves, because it says that he who does that is not wise. That word wise there happened to be the exact same word in Greek as understanding that we just read. He does not have the understanding whenever he compares himself among himself to elevate himself, to say I'm better than them or so forth. And it really struck me, you know, how well do I fully understand this? And I need to go deeper. And as I do, God will give me the grace and the strength to live a victorious life. It's had a challenging week on some of these things. But I do see the beautiful conclusion, or the opportunity that God gives us all. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says how that we have one that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, so even though I do not fully understand it, yeah, I can take the promise that as I believe and I have a desire, God says plainly, you know, he that seeks wisdom to ask God and he will give it to him. And you know, even though I don't understand fully you know, what pride is and all, you know, I can look and see you know, humility. You know, God is able to give that above to me, what I can understand. I don't understand what humility fully does, but I can look at God's people and see some beautiful the humbleness that comes out of a truly humble person, and the characteristic that it produces in somebody. And that's just a step in understanding what it is to be humble and to not have the pride. But God is able to to continually work that in my heart, if I fully surrender and desire that of Him. I don't necessarily have my thoughts all fully together here this morning, but a few things that I was thinking about there, and I know I have much deeper to go and much more to learn of God's grace, not in just a head knowledge, but in living it out. As I do that there, if I do not fully understand this, what God has for us and how we can live it to the fullest, I will not be able to display it to the world and to show forth that what God has available. And as the world looks on, as I say that, but not able to fully live it out, it is living a life that's a hypocrite in a sense. And the world does not like that. God does not like that. And it is miserable living in my life. And so you can pray for me, and I will continue to seek the wisdom and direction and learning how to live and understand where the perception of it can become reality in my life. So thank you. May the Lord bless you all.